Chapter 6. In February 1953, just a little more than 2 months after his discharge from the Army, Raymond got a job as a researcher, legman, confidant for, and as janitor of the ivory tower of, Holborn Gaines, the distinguished international political columnist of the Daily Press in New York. This on the strength of, 1, a telephone call from the managing editor of the journal to Joe Downey, managing editor of the Daily Press, 2, his relationship to Mrs. John Yerkes Iceland, whom Mr. Gaines admired and loathed as one of the best political minds in the country, and 3, the Medal of Honor. Mr. Gaines was a man of 68 or 70 years who wore a silk handkerchief inside his shirt collar whenever he was indoors, no matter what the season of the year, and drank steady quantities of Holland beer, but never seemed to grow either plump or drowsy from it, and found very nearly everything that had ever happened in politics, from Caesar's ascension to Sherman Adams' downfall, to be among the most amusing manifestations of his civilization. Mr. Gaines would pore over those detailed, never-to-be-published-in-that-form reports from one or another of the paper's bureau chiefs around the world, which provided the intimate background data of all real or imagined political maneuvering, and sip at the lip of a beer bottle, chuckling as though the entire profile of that day's world disaster had been written by Mark Twain. He was a kind man, who took the trouble to explain to Raymond on the first day of his employment that he did not much enjoy talking, and fulsomely underscored how happy they would be, both of them, if they could train each other into one another's jobs so that conversation would become unnecessary. This suited Raymond so well that he could not believe his own luck. And when he had worked even faster and better than usual, and needed to sit and wait until Mr. Gaines would indicate, with a grunt and a push at a pile of papers, what the next job would be, he would sit, turned halfway in upon himself, wishing he could turn all the way in and shut everything out and away from himself. But he was afraid Mr. Gaines would decide to talk, and he would have to climb and pull himself out of the pit. So he watched and waited, and at last came to see that he and Mr. Gaines could not have been more ecstatically suited to one another, had one worked days and the other worked nights. The promotion manager of the Daily Press was a young man named O'Neill. He arranged that the members of the editorial staff give Raymond a testimonial dinner, from which Mr. Gaines was automatically excused, for, after all, he had actually met Raymond, welcoming a hero to their ranks. When O'Neill first told Raymond about the dinner plan, they were standing, just the two of them, in Mr. Gaines's office, one of the many glass-enclosed cubicles that lined the back wall of the city room, and Raymond hit O'Neill, knocking him across the desk, and as he lay there for an instant, spat on him. O'Neill didn't ask for an explanation. He got up, a tiny thread of blood hanging from the left corner of his mouth, and beat Raymond, systematically and quietly. They were both about the same age and weight, but O'Neill had interest, which is the key to life, on his side. The beating was done well and quickly, but it must be seen that Raymond had, if even in the most negative way, made his point. No one else ever knew what had happened, and because the dinner was only a week away, and O'Neill knew he would need pictures of Raymond posed beside various executives of the paper, he was careful not to hit Raymond in the face, where subsequent discolorations might show. When it was over, Raymond agreed that he would not concede the dinner at any time to be a good idea, holding it to be a commonness which merchandised the flag. But he did agree to attend. O'Neill, in his turn, inquired that if there was anything more a part of our folklore than hustling the flag for an edge, that he would appreciate it if Raymond would point it out to him, and agreed to limit the occasion to one speech, which he would make himself and keep it short, and that Raymond would need only to rise in acknowledgement, bow slightly, and speak not at all. In December 1953, Raymond was guest of honor at a dinner given by the Overseas Press Club, at which an iron-lunged general of the armies was the principal speaker, and Raymond could not fight his way out of this invitation to attend and to speak because his boss, Mr. Gaines, was chairman of the dinner committee. What Raymond did say when he spoke was, "Thank you, one and all." The way the matter had been handled differed sharply from the O'Neill incident. Mr. Gaines had come in one morning, had handed Raymond a printed invitation with his name on it, had patted him understandingly on the back, had opened a bottle of beer, sat down at his desk, and that was that.